Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC present Tri-State Viewpoint. To join the program, call 304-399-8255 or toll free at 877-420-8255. Now, from the Kindred Capital Building in Huntington, Bobby Nelson and Gene Dean.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. This is Gene Dean, and sitting next to me is Bobby Nelson, and have a beautiful day outside, and we have a very interesting guest here in the studio sitting across the desk from me, and that is Patrick Grace, the operator, owner of Publisher's Place, and amongst other things has a wonderful resume, AP journalist years ago and visited many different countries. And Patrick, we're just glad to have you back with us today.
Saved by the bell.
And I should have mentioned that Ernie G is back with us as our producer. Hello, Ernie.
Hello, Gene, Bobby, and Patrick.
Even if you do say you're freezing in your studio.
Doesn't he do a wonderful job on the half-hour news?
Oh, he does.
He sounds very, very uptown, New York, Philadelphia.
Very professional, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, let's get down to business. Everybody's patting everybody on the back here. Which I like, by the way. Hey, Patrick, the big news around the country and the world is the Affordable Care Act. The Republicans apparently think they have found another issue which to go to the American people, and they are all over the airwaves saying Obamacare needs to be defended, it needs to be put on hold, it's a train wreck. As a matter of fact, Senator John McCain said that Gene, in a press conference yesterday, that President Obama ought to send Air Force One out to Silicon Valley, out to the computer people, and load it up with their programmers and bring it back to Washington and get this mess fixed.
Well, he's got the right idea. McCain has actually got the right idea, because I have read, I think from a reliable source, that one of the reasons that the federal websites are not functioning properly is they did not get the best IT people involved. They may have taken the lowest bid, but they certainly went with the people that were best at filling out all the applications to get federal contracts, and those did not necessarily represent the best computer programmers.
I wonder if they checked their experience. I mean, have they ever done any such enormous job before?
I've heard that these people are, quote, okay, but that's not enough. I mean, we needed the best.
Yeah, we needed excellent.
But, you know, you and Bobby were mayors, and you were talking before the show about how difficult it is to accept anything but the lowest bid when you're dealing with contractors and spending city money.
That's right, exactly.
There are always those members of council or even the public who wonder, when you don't accept the lowest bid, that you're somehow costing the government more money, or they never think about looking at all aspects of a bid, the quality of service, mm-hmm. the experience and ability of the people who submit the bids. But here again, and I use this term, and I didn't attribute to the British, but we may have been a penny wise and a pound foolish in going out and saying, we'll get a cheap bid here, and
cheap
then we'll
bid,
get
save the government money.
What do you attribute to the British?
Tea.
Thank you. I'll enjoy my cup.
Well, now I think people in business have perhaps a more sophisticated attitude about accepting the lowest bid. I think oftentimes in the big corporations, they probably don't accept the lowest bid. They probably look at all the other parameters more carefully than maybe people in municipal or state or federal administration.
Well, they're not bound by the same laws that any governmental agency is bound by.
They don't have the taxpayers on their back.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but there was some mention that not only the people did it, but the programs and the parameters that were given were some of the outdated and not really up to par.
Oh, dear.
Well, that goes with what I just said. Yeah, they didn't get the best people.
Well, they could have pointed out, look, if we're going to do this, you need to upgrade, and that isn't part of it. They just want to know who could do this the cheapest, taking the existing
Yeah, but
program.
Bobby, you know also, if you're the mayor and you're dealing with a contracting or
I'm co-mayor.
When you were the mayor, when Gene was the mayor, you're dealing with an electrical engineering company or something. What do you know about electrical engineering? All you know is what they put down on paper, and you know the dollar figure.
Yeah.
And you don't have the capacity. It's not part of your experience to go into the details of that bid and say, well, this doesn't look right.
But hopefully you have advisors who will point out any lack of experience or whatever. But if you decide to not go with the lowest bid, you've got to have a whole lot of backup information to prove why you don't want to go with the lowest bid.
Yeah, sure.
Well, let me give you an example of where there was a low bid, and it was a proper bid, and I was hung out to dry because not only did I accept it, I had to accept it. You may recall, Jim, when they were going to build the Marshall Football Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
The bid that came in came from a non-union company in Pittsburgh, and the unions went bananas here, but it wasn't the city that bid, it was the state, so they got on to me, I was mayor then, to veto it, to not not allow these non-union people to come
were
in
you,
here.
Were you the mayor or were you in the Senate then?
I was the mayor then.
Oh, okay.
And so they wanted me to not allow this to go forward. And, of course, I could have dragged out the permits and stuff like that, but eventually it would be done. But here's a case where it was the lowest qualified bid, yet the people here who wanted the stadium, they wanted it their way. Mm-hmm. And you get this kind of thinking in sometimes in government.
And let me just point out, I haven't followed all the news shows and talk shows about this issue, but what we're talking about right here, I haven't heard it on the national talk shows. This point that we're making right now has not yet come up. I think we're kind of ahead of the curve in identifying this this problem.
You're right, because that came up generally. Wolf Blitzer said it on CNN. Why weren't you looking at this before? And the communications director for the White House says, we're not interested at this point in going back and trying to find out. We're interested in getting this thing fixed, and they brought in a number of new, sophisticated people, and we'll look at that later. Meanwhile, up on Capitol Hill, the Oversight Committee, they now have asked Kathleen Sebelius, who is the Secretary of Health, up there to explain what is going on.
Right. Yeah.
Because they want to give this thing the most negative thing they can. Mm-hmm. So it's all in the mix.
I wonder how long this company, whoever it was, and I gather from you, Patrick, that it's a California company.
No, I don't know for sure. Okay. I think that's a good bet.
Okay, but I just wonder how long did they have to prepare this? I mean,
these are good questions. I think these are the kind of questions we're going to see in congressional hearings very shortly.
The original thing was for them to have everything ready in terms of the program by the enrollment date starting October 1. And the first few days, first 24 hours, it actually crashed. And they said originally that they had so many hits because they said they never experienced anything like this when 20 million people tried to get on. And it crashed. And they said at first it's just a crash. And then these other bugs started popping up.
Well, we know that any computer can crash. But after a certain period of time, relatively short period of time, then they put it back on and it's supposed to work. But in this case, it didn't. So did the president make some kind of statement today? I did not hear.
There's a news conference coming up today.
He had one earlier, and he said there's no excuses for this. There are some glitches, and I'm going to see that they're fixed. But he said that what I thought was interesting, that he said that we ought to talk about getting it fixed rather than talking about failure. He says everybody wants it to fail, and he says this is a priority because that's his signature piece of thing, and I'm sure he's going to put all shoulders to the wheel. But he expressed confidence in his secretary. He said this is something that can be fixed. And he also made a good point. He said one of the reasons that we had the enrollment period 4 months or so before you actually receive the is to take care of any glitches or blips or anything, and he said that he was going back to what they did in Massachusetts. They had this this phase in, so that makes a little bit of sense, but it's such a massive program, and he's had 52 different entities, insurance companies and others involved in this, and there's privacy issues like your Social Security number, and he said it just can't be fixed overnight per se, but he says, I am as upset as anybody else, and it will be fixed.
It can't be fixed overnight, but now we're 3 weeks out from the...
A couple other points. The states seem to be doing much better than the federal websites. The states that have taken on the responsibility of offering the Affordable Care Act on their own have better websites than the federal government.
That's true. West Virginia, unfortunately, opted not to have the federal program, to do it themselves. They are partnering with the government. So every time the state to help people get a question, they refer them to the federal health care website. So there's not much...
We're not having the big problems that other states are having, are we?
No, because the there is only
one major provider,
Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Okay.
And there we had him. He was interviewed on Hoppy Show last week, and he basically said, "We're not having any problems. We have a slower, you know, enrollment thing, but that's mm-hmm. understandable." And when he was asked to give what number of people have signed up or all, he said he deferred that, saying, just like the feds are saying, they're not giving in.
Nobody
actual
wants
enrollment
to say.
But he says we're doing fine. We have no major problems.
Well, that's good. I think Kentucky's doing okay as well, from what
I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky is doing relatively yeah. well, and Governor Beshear has been kind of crowing yeah. about that.
Yeah, yes, that must be a jab in McConnell's.
Well, the other thing that's come out in the news, in addition to Kentucky and California and New York are doing, is that the red state governors are fighting this, and they're basically not cooperating and helping to. And they pointed out
there's 16 states that are not participating
right.
at all,
mm-hmm. and so you have this situation there. So it comes down to politics.
Oh, doesn't everything, including this commercial break,
except the pound.
There's one state that is simply sitting pretty through all of this, Bobby. Mm-hmm. And Bobby and Jean, guess which of the 50 states that is? One state that has absolutely no problems and is just sitting back, relaxing, and watching it all happen. Yes.
Massachusetts.
That's right. And why is that? Why is that, Jean? Come on.
Oh, well, obviously, Mr. Ramey.
Mr. Romney.
Romney. Huh? How yeah. soon we forget. He's yeah. enjoying every minute of this, because although I think they had a few problems when it first started in Massachusetts, nevertheless, it's in good stead. Mm-hmm. And
and people been going for, what, about 20 years?
20 years,
now.
People love yeah. it, and they have no...
Has he been, in fact, that long?
Well, 20 years. He was governor then, two terms. Probably close to that, I would say.
Close to 20 years ago.
And they got 90-some percent of people covered. They've had no, but they did have, like you indicated, Jean, a little bit at the beginning, like anything. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. had the same thing with Social Security and Medicaid. Mm-hmm. So the operative word here is be patient. Be patient.
That's right.
And let this thing get, because
I think our message to anyone who's listening, who's interested in this, should be just be patient, as you say, Bobby. Absolutely.
Well, yes, but also raise a little fuss and make sure to light a little fire under the government's feet so that something happens.
Well, I'll get this in. We take a break. Okay. President Obama did say you don't have to go specifically to the government thing. You can also you can print out the application, and you can telephone them, you can also go to the exchange office. So they're options, but they're zeroing in on it because it's quicker. Everybody's a computer these days.
I hear the telephone thing is going better.
Yeah.
Better than the
and you talk to live people.
Yeah.
If you're
like
lucky.
Ernie.
Okay. Well, listeners, we are going to take a couple of minutes here for some commercials, and then we'll be back. And by the way, we would love to hear from you if you've been trying to get into the healthcare website, or if you've got other comments about it. We are here at 304-399-8255 or 1-877-420-8255. This is Tri-State Viewpoint. Bobby Nelson, Jean Dean, and our guest today, Patrick Grace. I'm having a terrible time with names today.
Mitt Ramey instead of Mitt Romney.
Who's Ramey?
James Ramey was a
notorious politician.
He owns all the all the car dealerships
all
in
right,
Princeton
I'm
and Brooklyn.
I'm going to drink my cup of tea and try and get my brain cleared here. Stay with us. This is Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. We'll be right back.
This is Tri-State Viewpoint on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Okay, welcome back to Tri-State Viewpoint. Our guest is Patrick Grace, Executive Director of Publisher's Place and a AP reporter around the world, and always smiling.
Well, go on, smile,
despite
Patrick.
Despite the fact that he's in book publishing, which you have to be certifiably insane to be in.
Well, now, I have to say this right now, because if I don't, I shall forget. Patrick is also going to start a course in speaking Italian.
Is that right?
Yes, it starts tonight, as a matter of fact.
Oh. Ooh.
Ciao, baby.
Yeah.
Going to be ciao, baby.
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone.
It's going to be at La Famiglia Deli. But we're really kind of overwhelmed with applications. If people want to call me about that, they may, but we practically have to start another section of the course at this point. We've got
when you get through the
people
course.
Have a, yeah, maybe after Christmas we'll do it again.
Yeah. Are you going to lead a tour to Italy?
No, but a lot of these people are going to Italy, either with the Marshall Student Group. You know, the art department now does an annual trip to Italy in the summer. Mm-hmm. Now, students from other departments may join the tour, but it's sponsored by the art department.
Did you live in Italy at some time?
I lived there for 6 years altogether.
Oh, well, no wonder you're fluent.
Yeah.
Well, that helped.
Did you meet any...
You know, where I learned the most of my Italian, though, was in teaching Italian. When you're teaching Italian, like on assistantship at UNC Chapel Hill, and you catch yourself making a mistake, it's like it's emblazoned on the wall for all to see, so you never make that mistake again. Oh. You correct yourself so much in the course of teaching, because the last thing you want to have happen is your own students to pick up your mistakes. So you're always vigilant for anything you might say that's it's off base, and you want to correct that as soon as possible. So it's a marvelous way to learn a language, is really teach it and keep trying to improve yourself as you're teaching it.
Give us a phrase, Patrick, that would be very useful if either Bobby or I were ever to go to Italy.
Well, it depends on whom you're meeting and what you want to say. Give me a situation.
What if you meet Don Corleone?
Don Corleone. Beh, onorevole, sono tanto grato di fare la sua conoscenza, perché sono un umile servente.
Whatever he's saying, I hope it's permissible on the radio.
He was telling us how to make holy water.
Don Corleone, I'm so, so honored to make your acquaintance because I am your humble servant.
That would get you by.
You're okay. You've said the right thing.
We got a paisan in the station here. We got two of them, I think. Ernie's
right.
Italian. I married an Italian. Learned how to burn spaghetti, but other than that,
how to burn spaghetti.
Let's get back to serious business.
Italian is serious business. Come on now.
Well, the Italians like to have fun. They like to stomp grapes. Is that
the
Greeks?
Grapes? Both.
Yeah, they're great. No, Italian has there's a tremendous history in that country.
Of course.
Only European states. We're a babe.
Aside here, one of my more daring reportorial adventures, if you like, was going down to Sicily and doing a portrait of the town that gave its name to the Godfather, which was Corleone. Yeah, I went to that town and I interviewed people there, including the mayor, and I was taken around by a photographer whose family was from Corleone, but he'd been living in Palermo, but he did speak the Corleonese dialect. And we went to the Camera del Lavoro, where the sindicalisti, which is the union people, have been anti-mafia. I don't know if you know about this, but the unions were anti-mafia. And there's a whole anti-mafia movement among women in Sicily, too. Very courageous women that have taken on the mafia. Once in a while, a woman gets knocked off, but that's not honorable to kill a woman. Knocked off, not up. But
I thought you were speaking Greek.
No. But...
this show is getting out of hand.
Yeah,
minute by minute.
But it was. Now, here you go.
There we go.
Now, here's the most daring thing that we did. He said, on top of the hill above Corleone is the house of the capo mafioso of the whole area, a very dangerous person named Luciano Ligio. And he said, we can go up there today because I believe Ligio and his men are not there. We went up there. And there's a sign at the beginning that says danger of death, and that was at the sign of the entrance to the house. He said, the carabinieri have come up here. No one has ever dared go beyond this sign. I said, well, since they're not there, let's go a little farther. So we did go beyond the sign and got closer to the house, at which none of the carabinieri or police had ever done. Later, when we were back down in town, Babel Camerata, the photographer, told me, I've been talking to people here in town, and I was wrong. Ligio and his men were there.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, are they in Sicily and in the town of Corleone? Hold the Corleones in high regard? How do they feel about the world reputation?
Well, that was the murder capital of Sicily in the 1950s. For a town of 10,000 people, they had up to 75 people killed in 1 year. And, of course, nobody ever saw a thing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Not live to Nobody see ever saw things.
Happened
right in broad daylight, but my head was turned. You know, I was on the scene there, but somehow or other I was looking somewhere else, and I can't
close
tell you.
Close my eyes for a minute.
I can't tell you who.
Gene, did you ever get to Italy?
No, I didn't. I didn't expect when I was a teenager to be spending the majority of my life in the United States, and there were a lot of places that I should have visited. I mean, I went to the usual ones like France and Switzerland and that, but a lot of places even in the UK that I wish I'd visited, like Cornwall and,
You can still do that. It's still there.
What,
Jane?
What statue's in Trafalgar Square?
Nelson.
One arm, one eye, and have no Horatio Nelson who saved the
place. Where's your hat?
You know, I did when I was in the Marine Corps. I was overseas in North Africa, and as I was about to be returned to the States for discharge, I was going, I'd saved some money, and I was going to buy a little Volkswagen. They were just big.
The Beatles.
And for some reason, at the last minute, I decided to take that money and tour Europe, thinking I'd never get back that way. So, and I started in Italy. I went to Naples, went to Rome, and three coins in the fountain, Tivoli, where you put money in the fountain for good luck. And I went to Trafalgar Square, and I asked for a hot dog. What? What do they call them?
Dog?
You must call them something else.
Whips or Wimpy's. It was a place called
Wimpy. That's like a hamburger.
I went there, and they looked at me like, oh, you're an American. But that's those cities, though. I mean, Naples, Rome, London, Bern, Switzerland. I was in France and Paris. I mean, it was an education. I never regretted
much
that.
Better than buying a car.
And in Denmark, a lot of Nielsens, they swore. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. I went to Denmark. There's a bunch of Nielsens in Denmark. N-E-I-L-S-O-N. And when I could get through them, they swore I was a relative from far away.
Just put that little I in there.
I noticed this is a very musical show today somehow.
Listeners, I hope you're having as much fun listening to us as we are. We'll try and get more serious when we come back from this news break. And Annie has now closed his door. I'm not sure if that's to get rid of us or whatever's going on out there. This is Tri-State Viewpoint with Patrick Grace, Bobby Nelson, and Gene Dean. We're going to news right now, but we'll be back. And don't forget to give us a call whenever you can at 304-399-8255.
You're listening to Tri-State Viewpoint on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Hey, welcome back to Tri-State Viewpoint. Glad to have you along today. Beautiful day. This is where the Tri-State comes to talk 5 days a week with great topics, great guests. We have both in the studio today, and Patrick Grace and Gene Dean. And I want to mention, we'd love to hear from you. We're talking about Heinz 57. We're all over the map here, but anything you want to talk about.
We need major Italy and back.
Affordable health care is the main menu, but the other things that you can give us a call, 304-399-8255, 877-420-8255. Patrick and Gene, I know Gene knows, but Patrick, do you know that under the Affordable Care Act, West Virginia will benefit more than any other state in terms of the people who are coming?
You were just saying. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, we have roughly 170,000 people in West Virginia who either underinsured or don't have insurance and would qualify based on salary and their job for health care, and that would mean that they would be saving in the long run because it'd be a low premium based on their income. The state would benefit, and even hospitals would benefit, because right now people who don't have health insurance, and we have a lot of them, if they get sick, they go to the emergency room.
Oh, yes.
And the rest of us have to pick up the tab.
Exactly.
Everybody could be covered. They couldn't be turned down. No pre-existing conditions. Children could be covered up to 26 if they're in school. The pre-existing thing would be out the window. And a lot of exams and things would be free for pap smears and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Preventive type medicine.
Yes, a lot of them. And it would be very, very beneficial to West Virginia.
Well, it certainly would. There's no doubt about that. But I would like to know who got the bid to put together the program, which isn't working for the sign-up, and how much they're being paid. I bet that is some huge sum.
If they have congressional hearings, Gene, we'll probably find out the answer to your question.
Hopefully.
Well, I've never seen the company or the amount listed, but that is a public you know, bed and all, mm-hmm. so it's there mm-hmm. somewhere. I'll try to dig that up, or maybe the person who will make an offer you can't refuse can look it up on Google in there. But the other thing, you know who's catching some flack on this is the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius.
Sebelius, mm-hmm.
And you know, she's a former governor of Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Forbes magazine listed her several years as one of the brightest and most effective female executives in the country. She has a string of degrees. And the interesting thing about her, Jean, she is the daughter, believe it or not, of a former governor of Ohio.
And she's a female.
Oh, my goodness.
You had to bring that into it, didn't you?
Well, part of that is this obsession that women shouldn't break through the glass ceiling, but they do it all the time. And we went through. No, I'm saying.
What was that?
I'm saying the general in the congressional arena, because women are held back. It's just like that. They have to go. They have to. You've heard the saying about cracking
the glass ceiling.
Well, that's what I said. What was wrong with that? I'm trying to help out here.
I understood you to say that women should not try and break through the glass ceiling.
No, you were saying the opposite. Jean.
There he was. Okay.
I accept your apology.
Okay. I jumped to conclusions.
As a classic liberal, there, I'm sure Bobby was saying the opposite.
Oh yeah, we were bragging about the.
He better be.
We were talking about the six senators who really put together the compromise on the...
Susan Collins got that group together.
Somebody asked me recently how our program was going, the two of us working together, and one of the things that I said, Bobby, was that you were gracious enough to point out or draw my attention to the six women who basically put together a plan of action about the shutdown to get us out of the shutdown, I appreciate that.
Big question. Can you name the six?
Only if you give me my current Time magazine copy.
Yeah, Susan Collins of Maine. She started this whole
thing.
Lisa Murkowski of Alaska.
Republican.
Kelly Ayotte of, New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
Then the Claire McCaskill of Missouri.
Missouri.
And then two more Democrats.
Barbara Murkowski from Maryland.
We need a bell if he gets the last
word.
And he's looking it up. We'll have it for you in just a minute.
Barbara Murkowski of Maryland, and one more.
I don't have it.
I can't think of the last one.
Well, it has to be a Democrat. We had three Democrats and three Republicans.
Yeah.
Is it Boxer? Barbara Boxer? Was she in that?
No, I don't think so.
From California?
I don't think so.
Well, I admire both of you for remembering five of them.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't remember Susan Collins, but who was the woman from Alaska?
Lisa Murkowski.
She was defeated by a teabagger and came back and won.
As an independent. Yeah.
Teabagger. Don't insult my teabag that's sitting right here in my cup.
That also would get you upset that they call this group of obstructionist teabaggers.
No, they don't. They call them tea partiers.
Oh, I guess
they call themselves that. The rest of us call them teabaggers.
Well, that makes
and you know
very
something?
Angry.
People think that they're actually an official political party. They're not. It's just a random group of people who...
But maybe they ought to be.
Yes.
Yeah, then you can pinpoint them. But where were we? What were we talking about?
About the sixth woman involved in that group.
Oh, well,
we were talking about women not breaking through the glass ceiling.
Women breaking through. That's what I'm saying.
Women breaking through.
Okay, all right.
Was it Kristen Gillibrand of New York?
No.
It was not?
No, not her.
Or Kirsten Gillibrand.
Yeah, Kirsten. Well, anyway, let's go on to another topic that I think we ought to talk a little bit about. West Virginia is trying to, believe it or not, although the governor did have a 7.5% hold last year on the budgets of state agencies, we continue to be generally a little better off financially than a number of other states, and that's because apparently the administration takes steps to make sure, and then we have the backup rainy day fund.
Mm-hmm.
And now this Marcellus Shale is beginning to generate revenues to the state in terms of taxes. But we still, in terms of manufacturing, we do not have the base that we need here. So Governor Tomlin and the Department of Commerce Secretary Keith Burnett, they went on a visit to Germany a week or so to promote to have a goodwill thing to maybe break the ice and maybe get them to look at West Virginia as a place.
We used to have an office, an economics office in Germany, didn't we?
We do.
Oh, do we still?
We may still have. I don't think because
it's a European office. It may be based in Germany.
Yeah, that's true. But this was one where the governor himself, with his entourage, went and to really make an impression.
Is it true that that's the first governor that has done an official visit to Germany?
Oh, I don't think
so. West Virginia governor? I think it may be.
Didn't
Caperton do it? Caperton went, and I think maybe even Bob Wise, because they used to reach. That was a big thing to make, because we were beginning the export. In fact, we were one of the leading exports states in the Union because of the coal exports that we send out.
Right.
Incidentally, while we're on this, former Governor Gaston Caperton and former Governor Bob Wise are going to be together tomorrow at the University of Charleston to just discuss. It's like an informal sit-down, and they're going to discuss their terms as governor of West Virginia and a few other things.
And the state of the state today, aren't they kind of talking about
generally
going
how
right
things
now?
Are today. Yeah. It's something that the University of Charleston is starting. It's kind of like
and it's free. You can come free.
Free, and it's at the University of Charleston there.
What time does it start, Bobby?
I think it's 7:30. I'd get there a little early, though.
I may go. I may go to that.
Bob Wise has kind of been very quiet and silent since he left the office of governor after one term, and he got his little trouble there.
Under less than auspicious circumstances.
Right,
yes.
Don't send messages, text messages. But anyway, he hasn't been back much, but he has an interesting job in Washington. He's involved with the Education Foundation and helping with the ACT and some of the testing.
Caperton also is involved in
both
education in some way.
And they're both up in Washington. I guess, I don't recall, I may have missed it, Bob may have come back for maybe the inauguration or something, but I don't recall him being in the state much over the last several years.
The thing I remember about Bob Wise, and I think this was when you were mayor, Bobby, that there was a parade of some kind going down 4th Avenue, and Bob Wise, and he was governor then, was clogging down 4th Avenue. Now, in my opinion, he just made a kind of a fool of himself that he should have just marched like everybody else.
But you know, Gene, that's like Bob Byrd playing the fiddle when he was running. When you're a candidate, they love that milk, you and Clinton, and Bob, but he clogged everywhere, Bob. Yeah. He just enjoyed it. But I know,
I expect a little more dignity from a governor, but
He clogs well. I mean, was he clogging really well?
He's pretty good at it. Yeah.
Okay, well, then that's all right.
But just to get attention. But
that'll pass in West Virginia.
Listen, this is a good point to take a break. You know, we have so much fun on this program, Bobby, that the time just flies by, and before we know it, we have to take a commercial break, which is what we're going to do right now here on Tri-State Viewpoint with Bobby Nelson, Patrick Grace, and myself, Gene Dean, on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930. Give us a couple of minutes, and we'll be right back.
Now, back to Tri-State Viewpoint on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Hey, welcome back to the final segment of Tri-State Viewpoint with Gene Dean, Bobby Nelson, and Patrick Grace. That's a great last name, isn't it?
It is. Wonderful name. Grace, yes.
We've been talking about the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
And if you still are interested in finding out or want to enroll, you can go to www.healthcare.gov. That's the one that's crashed. That's one of all the problems.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can call them at 1-800-318-2596. If you go to the West Virginia site, it's run by the Insurance Commission, they will tell you about some of the West Virginia programs that don't relate to health care, but they will refer you to this government website if you ask them. So, but the other thing that we need to know, if you are a veteran now, you are covered automatically. If you're a veteran, you don't have to do anything, and you're covered under the Affordable Care.
Yeah.
The same thing.
You have to pay money, though, right?
No, well, some veterans, you only pay money on veterans if you get something like prescription drugs that, based on your income, you can afford, but even they're low. But no, right now, the care that you
does
get.
Does that include the reserves?
The
or
care,
is it only a regular military?
If you are a veteran and you are in the Veterans Health Care Program, which most veterans are automatically enrolled in, you don't have to do anything. You'll be covered. The same thing for people in Medicare. You don't have to do that. Over at Marshall, some of it's where the employer provides the insurance, Marshall has said to their employees that their plan that most of them are in, that's a state part of the state plan, that meets the essential requirements of the Obamacare Act, the Obamacare, and so they don't have to do anything. However, if a person who's in a plan, like someone at Marshall, might want to go to the exchange and see if they can get a separate plan on their own.
A better deal.
A better deal, but chances are they won't, but they could try that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They could compare.
But veterans, folks on Social Security, 65, the Medicare and Medicaid people are also mm-hmm. covered. So there's a lot of people who are automatically covered yeah. if they're already in those programs.
Yeah,
so
we have a high percentage of Medicare, Medicaid, and veterans.
So all those folks don't have to do anything.
Right.
Now, in terms of a veteran, if they have family members, they are not covered per se. They could go to an exchange and get it. But it's directly to the veteran, unless it's a disabled veteran. There are different categories
of veterans. The veteran's family members are not covered.
Right.
Yeah. I'd love to hear from any listener who has actually tried to get onto the site, maybe successfully or not. Mm-hmm. And our numbers are 304-399-8255 or 1-877-420-8255. And mm-hmm. I know we're talking serious stuff here, but I do want to give our listeners a heads up about what we have coming up on Wednesday, Bobby, because I mm-hmm. think they'll be delighted to hear this. If you watch Wheel of Fortune, and I know a lot of us really enjoy that program, and you know the voice that Pat always refers to as Jim, well, mm-hmm. that's Jim Thornton from right here in Huntington, Proctorville, mm-hmm. and he comes back to visit his family every now and again. He's in town right now, and he's going to join us on the air on Wednesday, Bobby. Mm-hmm. So he's a delightful man, and I know that listeners will enjoy hearing him. So just want to give
you
a heads up.
He will also, be on the Dog Morning Show tomorrow.
Asking
a trivia question.
Mm-hmm.
And the senators from California, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein. I was only able to find five of the women, Barbara McCluskey, Patty Murray, Susan Collins.
Oh, Patty Murray.
That's the one we needed. Doggone it.
Wolkowski.
Yeah. We got the six. Patty's the lead. She's ahead of the appropriation. How did we forget her?
Patty Murray.
Anyway,
well,
Patrick.
We had a little bet going here. Well, Bobby and Patrick had a little bet going here.
I don't bet.
No.
Don't argue with the Marshall grad there, Patrick.
I think, Patrick, that you lost out on that. What was it? Yeah, how much did you bet? A dime?
No, we didn't bet at all.
$1, $5, £1, and his wife.
No.
That's what we...
That was Rick Perry during those debates, reaching out a hand to Mitt Romney and saying, bet $10,000 or something.
Oh,
like that.
Yes.
What was that all about? Oh, man.
Yeah, that was... Well, it... and I admire the two... Senators from California, Barbara Boxer. I just saw her the other day on TV, Pat.
Okay.
That's why I remembered
mm-hmm.
her. But anyway, Gene, we also have to remind people this is flu season that are coming up.
Yes.
And at the Campbell County Health Department, you can get a free flu shot Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays from 8 to 11 and 1 to 3. So
okay.
Go by there. They had several mm-hmm. places last week.
Right.
One of the places they had was over at the Herald Dispatch.
Oh, that's very convenient.
Yeah.
Of course, the health department itself is very
convenient.
It's 700 block of 7th Avenue. Right. So, okay, all right.
Need to get those flu shots, though. They really come in handy.
Don't tell me.
You don't get them?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I don't either.
Well, what do you guys want me to write on
Was it last year, Gene, they got the shot completely wrong? It was entirely the wrong shot. Everybody that got one, it was not protection against the flu.
Well,
might have been 2 years ago.
Different strains of influenza.
Yeah, and it's very,
they don't always get it right.
Yeah, but millions have been, not millions, but we've lost a lot of people from the flu. And over
well,
years,
that's true.
And we've
particularly
cut down
if your health is poor and you're elderly and... we're all elderly,
we're in that category. You need to get that shot.
But my health is good.
How about your income? Are you still income? I'll qualify you, Gene and Patrick. Patrick's a really hard worker, though. I see him out. Do you do a lot of volunteer work, Patrick? Are you involved in any?
A little bit. Yeah, I am in prison ministry. I'm not active this semester, but about every once a year, I get involved in a prison ministry weekend at Mount Olive, the maximum security prison near Montgomery. And I do this ministry with my dog at hospice.
Your dog?
My dog is a therapy dog at hospice. Yeah, we go visit people, including people who are dying.
Mm-hmm.
And their families, and Cooper, my dog, is very, very good with people, especially with little children. So mm-hmm. it's hard to bring, a 5-6-year-old child to visit an uncle or a grandfather who's dying. The children are very upset and they don't know what to make of the whole situation. And, you know, when a dog comes along, and all of a sudden they brighten up. And
what breed of dog is Cooper?
He's a Husky Shepherd mix.
Oh.
He's very, very
beautiful
good with
dog.
People, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he bit me last week.
No, he doesn't bite people.
Well, that's the other.
No.
Patrick bit you last week.
No, I've seen his dog. Beautiful dog. Quite, yeah. It's a beautiful coat, and it's just calm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm. I remember now, back when I was doing
I
a morning
Cooper
show.
I brought Cooper onto the show.
You brought him into my
and
studio.
He was a hit. He was a hit.
Well, I don't know about that. He was... Well, I won't tell you what he was doing
well
around
behaved,
my leg. But
Gene, I think after that show, you told me, now every time you come on the show from now on, you must bring Cooper.
I think you misunderstood what I said.
Oh.
Just like I misunderstood something Bobby said about the glass ceiling. I don't think you got it right, Patrick.
Oh, well, we all love animals. I have a wonderful, it's a kind of a lab ship.
He goes everywhere.
Yeah, Lucky. His name's Lucky. Yeah. I was lucky to find her, and she's lucky to find me. She was in a little ditch by the side of my lawn. I was cutting the grass, and I just about ran over. Uh-huh. I thought it was a little field mouse or something.
Uh-huh.
Picked it up, and this
puppy.
Little puppy.
Oh.
And I asked around the neighborhood, nobody. And the more I had it, the more I became attached to it. And I got it checked out with a vet and everything, and it just kind of grew.
Yeah.
And now, it's my best friend. She goes
everywhere with you.
Yeah.
I'm a cat person, but I do have grand dogs. I have, I think, five grand dogs, yes. Yeah, three beautiful lab retrievers and a little fluffy something. I don't know what that is, but... But that's the best kind of dog to have because it's like grandchildren. You can go home when you've had enough or you can send them home.
You know, the thing that is being talked about now, we have such a large amount of deer around.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been proposed in Charleston and other places that they'd be able to kill deer.
Urban deer hunts.
Yeah. And
terrible idea.
I know. And that they are so innocent looking. When they see you, they just stop dead in their tracks. They're just
beautiful.
Yeah. And I have about five or six every evening at my place that come up. And I just put a tad of food out because I want them to get used to humans feeding them. But I have a drop of corn, maybe two, three little pieces of corn or something I put out. But they are kind of plentiful. They're
all over our neighborhood.
Well, if you had a deer hunt in a city,
it's a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah, but doesn't it have to be a bow and arrow, not gun?
Well, arrows can kill people as well.
They're less likely.
You may be right. I think there are several cities. I think South Charleston. There are two or three that allow that, and Charleston to an extent. But someone proposed it here in Huntington that went to council the other night, and I think. David Bell said that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm. David Ball.
Bow and arrow, yeah.
Well, tomorrow afternoon in the second half of the show, Mayor Williams is going to be with us, so we can ask him what he thinks about having an urban deer hunt.
And bullets that miss their target can fly a long way. You know, can go through a house, a window, a car.
Yeah.
You know, we're almost out of time. When you're having fun, it does fly by, doesn't it?
We're having fun.
Absolute
I don't know about
silence.
The audience. But
we'll try and be more serious tomorrow because one of our guests will be an insurance gentleman coming in from Ashland, and that is Tom Delegatti from Ashland, and he's going to tell us how the Obamacare is affecting both employers and employees, and we'll also have Mayor Steve Williams from Huntington. So tomorrow we'll be really serious, and we hope you've had fun with us this afternoon. We certainly have enjoyed it. Our guest, Patrick Grace, and, of course, Bobby Nelson and Gene Dean. We'll be back with you tomorrow here on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930, where you've been listening to Tri-State Viewpoint. And don't forget, if there's a particular guest or subject that you'd like us to consider, give us a call. We're at 304-399-8255 or 1-877-420-8255. Get out and enjoy this beautiful sunshine because, as I understand it, it's not going to be this good tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening and have a wonderful evening. And please join us again tomorrow here on Supertalk 94.1 FM at AM 930.
The John Boy and Billy Big Show, morning 6 to 10 on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRBC Huntington, a service of Kindred Communications.